Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
More Falcons coverage now. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Tailgate Show on a rockin' Sunday. It is the loudest I've heard it this year in terms of everybody partying out here because, well, A, the Cowboys are in town. Well, again, Cowboys fans don't fly from Dallas to Atlanta. They just live here, you know. I mean, so, and, of course, they, you know, America's team. God, I hope they're not America's team. They're a meltdown. I don't want America to be a meltdown.
Yeah, no kidding.
God, Lord, you know. Yeah, who's your president? Jerry Jones. Oh, great. Yeah, thanks hell a lot. All right. So anyway, because ain't nobody voted for him, including me. So we get to the game today, and the big news is when we start, Joe, you can update us on the injuries here and who's going to be playing and who's going to be not playing here. The big news today, again, is Zeke Elliott has been suspended by the Dallas Cowboys for disciplinary, air quotes, action. We don't know why. Nobody said anything yet, but he's not here. He stayed back in Dallas, so he's not even traveling with the team. So no Zeke Elliott, and you can add him to the list today. Let's go down this injury list, which is brought to you by Fireshire from the W Sauce. Bigger, better, bolder, now spicier. Visit the WSauce.com to find a Fireshire retailer near you, or just come to us because W Sauce tent with free W Sauce is right next to us.
That's right. Yeah, get all you need. Let's start with the Falcons here, John. Just a few players going to be out today. J.D. Bertrand came down with a concussion after last week's game, so he is out. Ruka Roro also is going to be out with an ankle, what's being described as an ankle injury.
And can you stop for a second? Yep. Do we know the severity of this? Because he's turned out to be a pretty important piece.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I think it's going to be – I think he's going to go on IR, I believe. That's just my belief. The way that they're talking about it, it sounds like they're just not making – they don't really need to make a decision necessarily, so – that's how it's trending to me, especially if it's an ankle. It just seems like something that's not going to be – he's going to be back from in 4 weeks. So, hey, maybe an opportunity for Brandon Dorlus, a guy who has not played a snap yet this season, the fourth-round pick, to potentially step up and make some plays. But they need somebody to make some plays on that defensive line, especially with that Rook, because, like you said, he was really starting to make a name for himself. So let's hope that he gets back healthy soon as well. So he's going to be out. The other big one, Drew Dolman, came back, started practicing. We kind of got a full participation practice in this week, but he has been ruled out for this game. So great. Back to Ryan Neuzel for one more week with Matt Hennessy backing him up. A few questionable guys, and these are going to be really interesting to see if they play. Well, Chris Lindstrom, he's going to play. He's listed as questionable. I'd be shocked if Chris Lindstrom does not play in this game. Troy Anderson is the big one. This team is thin at linebacker. We already talked about them being without J.D. Bertrand. Caden Ellis, I believe, has been dealing with stuff. He's been on this injury report all year this year. He's on it now with a knee injury, even though he's going to play today. Troy Anderson getting back would be huge, and we'll see if that happens. He's been out now for 5 weeks with a knee injury. He never went on IR, but he's been just dealing with what they've been calling a day-to-day knee injury for a while. So he's going to be questionable, and then that's about it for the Falcons. Everybody else should be good to go. Let's get now. It's bad for the Cowboys. Cowboys have so many injuries to some of their best players. Most importantly, Micah Parsons out today. He would have totally changed the complexion of, I think, the way that we think about this game if he were to play, but he's not going to be playing. Still out with an injury he's been dealing with for a while now, an ankle injury. Also, Deron Bland, Pro Bowl cornerback for the Cowboys, is also going to be out. And Jordan Phillips, defensive tackle, also out. They've got a bunch of other guys who did not practice at times this week who are listed questionable. That includes guys like Linval Joseph, who did not play, got in a couple limited participations. They really need him on the interior of that defensive line. Eric Kendricks, a veteran linebacker, is questionable. It looks like he's going to play. Zach Martin, one of the best offensive linemen over his career. He got in a couple limited practices after missing Wednesday's practice. He's listed as questionable.
I think
he's like Lindstrom. Yeah, he's going to play. But I don't think he's going to be quite 100%. And apparently he's been having a down year as well. My favorite injury, though, for the Cowboys, he's still on the injury report because he missed a practice on Wednesday. For jury duty, their kicker, Brandon Aubrey, he's going to play.
Oh, yeah, my wife had jury duty this week.
Love seeing jury duty on the injury report.
You know, I mean, you go full Pauly Shore.
Yeah. Apparently they convicted the guy, too.
Okay. Not the kicker.
No, the kicker didn't get convicted. Right, okay. He did the convicting.
All right, there you go. Wait for Tailgate Show brought to you in part by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. Counting down now less than 3 hours from kickoff between the Falcons and the Cowboys. Both teams a little bit banged up. But Cowboys have a secondary problem here. And that's not only, again, not listed on all this is Zeke Elliott, not even with the team, because the disciplinary action Dalvin Cook will start today, is, you know, the mentality of the team. This is, you know, you step on someone's neck, Joe, and kick a dog when he's down. That's the way the NFL works. And this team right now has internal pressure. You go read the Dallas Morning News web. Let me step back for a second. I have a lot of ties to Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
My wife, my beautiful bride Tammy, who's here, we got married in Dallas. And my mom is a priest, and she married us at St. Matthew's Cathedral off Ross Avenue, if anybody knows Dallas.
Okay.
I have been to Dallas. My mom has lived in Dallas for 45 years. I have been spent, I can't tell you how many hundreds of nights I've spent. I know Dallas really well, okay? And so I've read the Dallas Morning News and listened to The Ticket and watched WFAA. I mean, I'm Channel 8. I mean, I know Dallas, okay? It's almost like been my second home over the last 40 years. In that town, whenever I go back, you can just see, and when I was back there just recently, the disgust with the franchise. You know, I mean, it's just, that's the only word I can come up with is disgust. They are so disappointed. Remember, the Cowboys, the last time they won a Super Bowl, you'd have VHS.
Yeah, it's crazy to think.
VHS.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that that was. Was it that one against the Steelers? Neil O'Donnell Steelers in like 95? Was that their last?
It's been 30 years.
That's crazy.
The Falcons have never won a Super Bowl. I know, but we're talking about one of the premier franchises in the NFL that prides itself on being, they think they're the number one, but I mean, you think the Niners, the Steelers, now, of course, the Patriots post Brady. But the Cowboys.
Yeah. I mean, it is true that the Packers, Cowboys fans are everywhere.
Like
we see a lot of them, you know, walking around the tailgate today. They're everywhere. They are. I mean, that's the reason why they're called America's team, because they're such a huge kind of, like you said, kind of the pinnacle, or not the pinnacle, but kind of the shining light of the NFL. But they're not recently, and they're not going to be in the future.
And
I'm
again,
afraid.
It's worse because the internals are so bad right now. And there are a lot of Cowboys fans who believe that the franchise will never be successful until Jerry Jones is no longer with the franchise.
Yeah.
Which, and by the way, that's going to be no longer with us because he ain't giving it up.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there a succession plan within his family? Do you know?
I'm in radio. I don't talk to Jerry Jones because
curious.
I'm too afraid to talk to Jerry Jones.
You can't ask those kinds of questions.
I don't want firing me.
You can't ask those kinds of questions around Dallas, apparently.
Apparently not. So let's go to the other big story here. Now, Tuesday, I don't know what's going on Tuesday. We're going to have the release of the first college football playoff committee poll. That's one thing that we can talk about a little bit here. The second thing is it is the trade deadline for the NFL on Tuesday.
Yeah.
I think those are the two big stories on Tuesday.
That's it.
I don't think that's it. Yeah, everybody's going to be talking about the college football playoff committee
that's right.
Poll and the trade deadline in the NFL. That's what we're going to be talking about. I just want everybody to know that on Tuesday.
The rumors are heating up, though, for the Falcons and all seriousness.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you here, because I got to tell you, I want to put this into a little perspective. When you're talking about, let's go out and get a rush edge, you know, and throw out whatever name you want to throw out. Oh, let's go get Myles Garrett. Let's go get, you know, Hassan Reddick. Let's go get whatever, you know. The Falcons do have a cap issue. They also have another issue here. The Detroit Lions, for example. Aiden Hutchinson going down is not only bad for the Lions because he's as good as they get at that position in the NFL, But it leaves the Lions with a hole. And so the Lions, who are absolutely 100 all in on Super Bowl here, have got to go out and get another edge guy to replace Hutchinson for the remainder of the year. So having said that, the Falcons are not just in a space where, oh, we have our choice of guys, Joe. They're competing against other teams.
Yeah. A lot of buyers. I mean, it's not unlike the baseball market, you know, where you get to the trade deadline and all the contending teams are looking for relievers, an extra starter, something like that. Now it's like you get the trade deadline of the NFL season and all these contending teams. Who doesn't want an extra pass rusher? You know, you've got
a wide receiver.
Even if you didn't have an Aiden Hutchinson situation, surely you've got guys who are banged up, you know, who could use a blow, some better rotations. And so I think we are starting to see something change in the NFL. Where we're going to start to see more of these trade deadline deals happen, especially for certain positions like pass rushers, and especially where teams can, you know, offload some salary when they're kind of down in the dumps and looking to potentially do a rebuild. Teams being more willing to get rid of guys. There used to be a theory that because of the way that football goes and you've got like team schemes and things that are so different team to team, it's harder for players to just kind of go from one team to the next in the middle of the season and be able to pick things up on the fly. And that probably is true for some offensive players, but you know, on the defensive side of the ball, especially if you're just kind of rushing the passer, I think that's something you can do for pretty much anybody. So I think we are starting to see things change in the NFL with the way that things go.
The Wait For Tailgate Show is brought to you in part by Ticketmaster, official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. John Fricke, Joe Patrick with you. Getting excited for a Sunday with the Dallas Cowboys in town against the Atlanta Falcons here. So talk to me about these rumors about the Atlanta Falcons. They haven't made a move yet. We all think that they need to make a move. This is a team. Again, the last time the Falcons saw Dak Prescott, Adrian Claiborne sacked Dak Prescott six times at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in one game. In eight games, the Atlanta Falcons have six sacks on the season. Maybe seven now, right? I think it may be up to seven.
I think it's five.
I think it may be up to seven.
I'll check.
Okay. Anyway, it's pathetic.
Yeah, we know that. That's the one thing we can say with certainty.
But
Falcons have six sacks.
Okay, so it's pathetic. Okay, pathetic.
Terrible.
Pathetic, you know? All right, so, I don't know. Again, I said, I don't know. Is that a scheme thing? Is it a, you know, you got these guys. You brought Judon in. You know, Zach Harrison has regressed, apparently. Don't talk to me about, oh, we see good things, or, hey, listen, we're coming around. I have no time, Jimmy Lake, for, oh, it's going to get better. No, yeah. I have no time for that. We are, again, halftime is halfway through the season. I need to see production now from this team.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, to put in perspective how bad it is, the sacks number, I mean, the Falcons have six. Fourth worst in the NFL is 12. So that would be, if you were to have doubled your production, you'd still be right at the bottom of the NFL pretty much. So it has been that bad. And, you know, I kind of feel for Jimmy because when he's asked questions, rightfully so, he should be getting asked questions about this. There's nothing he can do necessarily in that moment to go back in the past and try to, like, you know, say it's, you know, wasn't as bad as it was or that it's going to get better. But I don't know how it does get better. And I think that we've seen the reports of them being in the market for a pass rusher. But I think even before some of those reports started to come out late this week, just listen to what the coaches say. What are they saying? We're losing individual battles. We need to find guys who are going to win these. That, to me, says we need to bring in a player who's going to win these pass rushing situations, which they're just clearly not doing.
All right, so let me throw something out at you. What about going and bringing Calais Campbell back?
I mean, I'd be all for that. I think he'd be a
half a season.
He'd be amazing. I think he'd be a great addition. He's not necessarily, I think, the...
What's he, 38 years old? But still...
I think he'd help you in all areas, though. Like
like Dwight Freeney did.
You know, he's even played... They're playing him on special teams in Miami. That's crazy.
Right.
That's crazy. But, yeah, he can help you in so many different ways in the locker room as well, having that leadership, having that experience. It would be a great asset for this team. I don't know exactly how that would affect the cap for the Falcons, considering I believe he's on a one-year contract. I don't even know if it would be that bad for them. So probably very doable. He's one in contention. Aziz Ojulari is another name that we've heard kind of get floated around. Harold Landry from the Titans.
Right.
So there are some guys out there. But like you said, like there's going to be plenty of other teams that are in contention to bring some of these guys in because they are quality players who are going to be able to help any team. And so how much are you willing to give up if you're the Falcons? How much do you have to give up? I mean, they already are down two picks.
Yeah, I know. You're right. You're down two picks. I mean, that's the problem. That becomes the real issue.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, you got stung on that deal with the NFL.
And I also just want to say really quickly, just because you trade for a guy doesn't mean he's going to make anything better. The Falcons traded for Matthew Judon. He hasn't been good at all, basically, this season. And they lost a third-round pick for it.
Yeah, right, exactly. A third-round pick for Matthew Judon, who has not lived up to what we had hoped he would live up to. It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. We all understand. Look, Falcons are there. It's the defense has got to get – we all know they have the offense now,
yeah,
which is so odd to say. It's such a reversal.
I know. It's so weird.
Yeah, I know. All right, quick break here as we continue counting down to kickoff between the Falcons and the Cowboys on your home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92 on the game.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Falcons coverage now. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Wade Ford Tailgate Show from Reggie Rouse, who's one of the big bosses of our company. Just dropped by to say hi, shake hands, and talk to us, Joe. Joe Patrick and John Fricke with you. And one of the things that Reggie and I noticed is that, and maybe it just kind of occurred to me, is that as the Falcons kind of get a little bit more into the, here's a fancy-dancy word that Swampers won't understand, zeitgeist.
The zeitgeist.
Zeitgeist. Okay, zeitgeist means they become more of a thing, okay?
Yeah.
And so as they become more of a thing, the crowds here at the tailgates, week over week, have grown. They're getting here
steadily
earlier.
Growing. Yep, totally. Totally. I noticed that walking in today. More going on when we started today than there has been earlier this season. You're totally right.
Which is
exciting. That's fun to see. Yeah, that's the kind of environment that you want. And hopefully that's the kind of environment that leads to a good environment in the building at 1 o'clock when these teams kick off. Because, you know, listen, we've been talking about it. I've been an Atlanta Falcons fan my entire life. You know, these fans are notorious for not being in the building, not being allowed at 1 o'clock. That's probably not even just Falcons fans. That's probably a lot of fans around the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
The more you can get, you know, the more you can drink before you get in by 1 o'clock, the more you can pack in, you know, be efficient with your time, the better it's going to be for the team.
And by the way, be in your seat by 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know, don't be showing up at the, you know, halftime.
Yep.
Which we're notorious for.
Yeah, and then stop and get a beer on your way. You know, that's like a lot of people want to stop and get a beer on their way to their seat, so
right.
It just causes a lot of delays.
Right.
Yep.
Exactly. What it takes to win is brought to you by Motlick & Associates. When winning is everything, you call Motlick. Injury attorneys at Pound Win. That's Pound WIN, Pound 946. John and Joe with you on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, taking you to the top of the hour. Network pregame show, Chris Goforth, Mike Johnson. Wes and Dave on the call of the game, 1 o'clock kick between the Falcons and the Cowboys. And we invite you to stay tuned on 99 The Game for the Falcons flyover after the game with Rob Tribble, where you can weigh in and have all your say here. So we got three games to the bye here. Falcons alone in first place here. Kirk Cousins in these first eight games, 68% completion rating. He's number 5 in the league in passing yards so far. Bijan Robinson, 546 yards rushing, 810 combined yards, 5 touchdowns for him. So one of the things that we've seen that, hey, listen, Kirk Cousins is going to bring out the best in these young players. Drake London, 5 touchdowns through 8 games, 68 catches, 525 yards. And Darnell Mooney, 59 catches, 500 yards of 4 TDs. By the way, while they don't have anybody at the top, Drake London at 525 yards and Darnell Mooney at 500 yards makes the Falcons the only team in the NFL with two receivers that have at least 500 yards.
Yeah, how about that? And you've got Kyle Pitts, who has 419.
Right.
So, you know, you've got – and I think that's what this offense is. I actually think that this kind of perfectly encapsulates or symbolizes what this offense is, which is any of these guys can hurt you in any given game. They're not all going to hurt you in the same game. And it's probably unlikely that one of them is going to go off for crazy numbers. But any single one of them could go off for a big play on any given play. And we've seen that with Kyle Pitts, the kind of explosives that he's been able to create, that Kirk's been able to connect with him in these last few weeks. You know, Drake London is obviously a guy you can go to with the ball. Kirk has a relationship with Darnell Mooney. So there's just so many different options that he has to go with the ball.
You know, and Ray McLeod's done a really nice job this year at times and done so, you know, even I think some fans forget. We talk about, you know, some of the guys like Braylon Trice who we didn't see this year and lost for the year. We lost Rondell Moore. I'm going to tell you, Rondell Moore could play.
Yeah.
And not having
talk about explosives.
Year, yeah.
That he would have been creating
super
some
super explosive.
You wonder how much he's got to be just not kicking himself because he can't do anything about an injury, but how much he's got to be thinking, man, I would be thriving so much in this offense, just the way that they're using guys like Ray McLeod. You know, how much a guy with his skill set could have added to this offense. It's a shame that he's not able to be a part of it, but it puts so much pressure on these opposing defenses because you just don't know where the ball is going to go on any given play. And, you know, when any of these guys, whether it's Darnell Mooney or Drake London or especially Kyle Pitts, get some of that one-on-one coverage, you know, you've seen it. Kyle Pitts makes a guy miss with his size or whatever it might be, and he's legitimately a threat to score from anywhere on the field. And so that is such a luxury that this Falcons team has. And then also, lastly, John, you got to give credit to Zach Robinson, the way that he's been able to adapt over the course of the season, not just to Kirk and his injury situation, but to the rest of these players' strengths and skills, and being able to really, it feels like, get the best out of all these guys, even down to guys like Tyler Algier and some of the backup, you know, Charlie Warner in the run game, the way he's been able to block. It's just been really fun to see. I think Zach Robinson's been one of the more innovative offensive coordinators in the NFL.
This portion of the Wait For It Tailgate Show brought to you by Orchard. Sell your home, get paid twice. You can learn how at orchard.com. I agree. One of the points I've been making, Zach Robinson has really grown. You know, we were really frustrated with him the first couple, 3 weeks of the year. But the Falcons use motion, pre-snap motion, more than any team in the NFL, which says, in a lot of ways, it's a complicated offense because it's got to work in sync. Mm-hmm. If you're using pre-snap motion, you've got to make sure that you got all your ducks in a row and everybody's in their lanes and assignments. And so it takes a while to get to that point, but this offense has really kind of hit that next level here. And it's not just because Tampa has a bad defense, for example. But, boy, you know, you get smacked in the mouth early. This is what made that game against Seattle so frustrating is they're, you know, they got out of themselves. They got out of their rhythm. They got out of the way they do things here. And they just stay in rhythm because the success and failure of this team is going to be dependent upon that offense. I have no faith that this defense, you're going. Get anything. Individual plays, yeah, Jesse Bates is having an all-pro year again because Jesse Bates is the best safety in the NFL. Mm-hmm. That's why.
Yeah.
You know?
And, like, listen, I don't expect this defense to be great. You know, even if you look at the Falcons' last Super Bowl team in 2016, I mean, that was a historically prolific offense that was complemented with a very average defense, but a defense that created plays. You're looking for something similar out of this defense, although in order to create those plays, you've got to have the sacks and kind of the strip sacks and that kind of be a part of the playmaking ability of the defense. But it's not like I expect this defense to, like, be world beaters. This is clearly an offensive-led football team, but you've got to have some modicum of an ability to be able to get the ball back to that offense when you need to, especially late in games when you need to kind of come back from some deficit.
Everybody's right, though, but I think all the fans are right. And I think we are all right when we say, wait a second now, over the last 3 years with Arthur Smith, with essentially the same guys,
yeah,
you were pretty good on defense.
Yep, yep.
And what the hell happened? So,
yeah.
the only line you could draw is you go. Well, it must be they have a different scheme.
Yeah, I think it is a scheme. I mean,
if that's the case, then you move Jimmy Lake off the scheme.
We'll see what happens. I mean, you never know exactly how it works inside the building. You never know if Raheem Morris decides to, you know, take more ownership over the defensive game plan, but they're not going to kind of signal that to the outside to kind of alert that there is some sort of change that's happened. But ultimately Raheem Morris is responsible for, you know, the fate of the team, and so he's got to take it on himself when he's got to identify that there's a problem that is fixable, that is not being fixed, that he can help correct and make the proper adjustments. But either way, the scheme's got to improve. And, you know, something we were talking to Jimmy Legg this week about, I was actually asking him about the interception that AJ Terrell had, and that got us into some conversation about the scheme where last year this team was actually not picking the ball off nearly as much. Jesse Bates was doing a fair share of his.
Right.
But other than that, there weren't really any. And that's partially because they were running a lot of press man coverage, you know, bumped up against the receiver at the line of scrimmage, and you're just not going to be in positions to pick the ball off, as opposed to what they're doing this year, which is a lot more zone, and they're playing a little bit deeper. I think the problem that a lot of people have, myself included, is that it's just way too soft. It's like, you know, a third and 10, and your cornerback is standing at the sticks, you know, and it makes it way too easy for an opposing receiver to just, you know, catch the ball and get a couple yards after the catch and pick up a first down.
Yeah, I'm not a defensive coordinator in the NFL. I try not to play one in the NFL,
right,
on the radio. But at the same time, I'm a press cover guy. I want to get right up in their grill and pop them as soon as they leave the line.
Yeah.
You know, kind of shield to the inside, force them to the outside, force them to the boundary, take away the inside. That's kind of how I like to play the idea, but nobody asked me.
And when you're playing that press coverage, you get more opportunities to sack the quarterback because there aren't obvious targets that the quarterback can get the ball to early in the count.
Right. I mean, it makes them hold it an extra half beat or two.
Yep.
But that's me. But maybe they don't like A.J. Terrell or Clark Phillips or Mike Hughes or anybody like that. In press coverage is not a thing. They seem to be overly concerned about something that really hasn't happened, which is getting beat over the top. They haven't really been. Now, today is a different story. Let's talk about that. Getting beaten over the top is CeeDee Lamb. That's getting beaten over the top.
Yep. That's going to be a tough matchup. It's a tough matchup for anybody in this league, but, you know, especially a guy like A.J. Terrell has had his difficulties with guys that kind of have the size profile that CeeDee Lamb does. And so it's going to be very interesting to see how they match him up. They also have a ton of success using CeeDee Lamb out of the slot.
Right.
And if they are using him out of the slot, how do you match up against that? Do you just leave your nickelback and a guy like, for example, D. Alford to just kind of be up against CeeDee Lamb? That seems like a recipe for failure. So how do you mix things up to be able to adequately cover that matchup? Frankly, I don't know if the Falcons are able to do that. I think that this is going to be a very high-scoring offensive game for both sides of the ball. So we'll see. Maybe I'll be wrong, but I don't expect the Falcons to have a lot of success stopping this Falcons.
Unfortunately, if you see that, you know, DK Metcalf and Seattle can come in here and put 34 on you, mm-hmm. Dallas can come in here and put 34
exactly.
on you pretty easily. So.
Yep.
You know, it's going to be a game. It's going to be a game where you have to protect the ball, and the Falcons are going to have to run the football here. You mentioned Mike Gabbard.
Oh yes.
You know, without Parsons in that defensive line, and they have another injury in the defensive line, they've got to run the ball. And if they can run the ball effectively, this is a game where you don't need Kirk Cousins to throw for 303 touchdowns. You need Bijan and Tyler to run it for 160. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Let me give you some stats on this, John. The Cowboys give up tied for the most rushing yards per game with the Carolina Panthers at 154.6 yards per game. That's absolutely awful. The Cowboys are worst in the NFL in stuff percentage, which is stopping runs for 0 yards or negative gain. And if that's not bad enough, they actually play with light boxes among the least in the NFL, the third fewest as a percentage in the NFL of light boxes, and they have the third most stacked boxes, which means you're overloading the box with linebackers and defensive linemen. So not only are they not stopping the run, but they're using personnel that you would use to stop the run, and they're still not doing it. Some of that's related to game state, but it's not a pretty picture for this Cowboys defense, and it's why I think that Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier have a chance to really go off in this game. And I think that if you are the Falcons, you're looking to neutralize the Cowboys offense, use that ground game to just chew up the clock. You don't necessarily – you can have a super productive offense and not score 40, 50 points. You know, if you just keep that clock moving and are efficient and are scoring touchdowns on your drives, you're going to win this game. You
know,
do that with
the
run game.
The eye test means something. The stats mean something when it comes to the – his defense are letting up almost over 24 points a game. That's simply not acceptable. That's not going to get it done. Now, you know, notwithstanding, you know, the fact that they're a little bit dinged up here, but the lack of production of individual players, you know, the lack of growth of Zach Harrison and Arnold Ebikadi, I mean, I'm out. I mean, I'm just like, I'm out. You know, I mean, here are two high draft picks who have not developed into players, and I'm like, I don't care what somebody's. Oh, he's getting better. He's getting. No, I don't care. I'm out. You either have to produce in game day. Oh, we're seeing it in practice. Don't care. I have to have that production in a game day. And unless one of those guys absolutely does, you have no choice but before Tuesday to go out and make a move into a pass rusher. You have no choice.
Yeah.
And any failure to do so and then no generating pass rush going forward, that's going to be on Terry Fontenot, not on Jimmy Lake.
Yeah. And I want to give Zach Robinson a little bit of slack. I'm sorry, Zach Harrison a little bit of slack because I think that he's kind of changed his position, more of an interior guy this year where, frankly, they could use him on the edge a little bit more, but he just hasn't gotten the reps. And as a guy, with a guy like Rugeroro not able to play, maybe that speaks to Zach Harrison getting more reps. I would love to see him get more opportunities on that defensive line today.
It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show live from Lot 432, Northside and Markham, as we get ready for the Falcons and the Cowboys today. It's jumping in here. Come on out. The W Sauce is here. You got Shake Shack. You got V103.
V103 is throwing a party.
Yeah, the V103 is throwing a party today. Yeah, absolutely. As we continue counting down toward kickoff, 1 o'clock kickoff right here on your home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
More Falcons coverage now. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Falcons and Cowboys today at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. John Frankie, Joe Patrick getting you started here. It's been rocking. It's been fun. V103's throwing a big party over here in Lot 432 right off Northside Drive.
Even the Cowboys fans are having fun, I think, John, over at the dance party, at V103's dance party over there.
Well, it's
and maybe
the first time
eating
they've
all this
had
barbecue.
Fun, you know,
yeah, they got to get some fun now before the game starts.
Right, exactly. You know, Shake Shack is here, W Sauce is here, we got all the grills, and it's a tailgate. It's a party.
Yeah.
You know, and hopefully it's a winning party for the Atlanta Falcons, and we've gone over it. If you're just joining us here again today, just in a few minutes, we'll join the network with Chris Goforth and Mike Johnson on the pregame show, 1 o'clock. With Wes and Dave on the call of the game and the Falcons flyover after the game for you to call in and react with Rob Tribble here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. There are a couple of things that are in play here. Number one is this game today. The Swampers will be playing the Panthers in a battle for in the Cam Ward Bowl. So down in Carolina today. And then the Bucs will play the Chiefs tomorrow night. Falcons do have the lead in the division. They are one game ahead of the Bucs. Joe is right. They're essentially two games ahead because they own all the tiebreakers over Tampa. Should the Falcons win today and the Bucs lose on Monday night, it would be a three-game lead with eight games to go. So let's see if the Falcons can build. Now, here's the big thing that's going to tell me, not only in addition, Joe, to the obvious issues that the Falcons are having on defense and the trade deadline, which I'll get into in just a moment, is can you defend your house? Can you show me you can win at home? Because they've done a really good job of being really focused on the road, and they've taken 3-0 on the road, and they've taken this whole you go into your trap, take your trap thing with Kirk Cousins to heart, but they haven't done it here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. At what point did they begin to flip that where not only do they win at home, but you win a game kind of decisively at home?
Yeah, winning going away, yeah, and make it kind of that party atmosphere. We talked about the atmosphere in Mercedes-Benz Stadium against the Seahawks a couple weeks ago and how it was kind of lackluster, and part of that is on the fans kind of needing to bring juice, but there's also an element of the team needing to kind of give the fans something to cheer about, and it does make me wonder, John, if that is on the thoughts at all of someone like Zach Robinson, who's coming up with the game plan today and the scheme, and feels like there might need to be some urgency to create some bigger plays early in the game to really kind of give that jolt to the stadium, to the crowd, to get everybody in it, to feel like you actually have them on your side going through this game, because it just felt like things never got going against the Seahawks, even though they scored some points up until the third quarter. Just felt like they got stuck in neutral, and so you want to see this team kind of jump out the blocks and keep it rolling today.
That brings up one of those things of, if you win the coin flip, do you take the ball?
Right, yeah, that would be a great sign. Even that alone could be something that helps kind of bring to life just the whole thing. Yeah, instead of relying on what we've been talking about, being a really poor defense going out there to start the game.
And sitting there through an extended six-minute drive of the other team, even if it ends in a field goal where you're sitting around going, kick it off. Because to me, the most frustrating thing is the inability to get off the field on third down.
Yeah.
That drives me crazy.
Yeah.
I get three and outs. I would love to know, Joe, I've got a mouse in my pocket. The Falcons played eight games. How many times have the opponents punted this year?
In eight games? That's a good question. I don't know how to look up that stat, actually.
It'd be under probably team stats, opponents, but I'm just saying, I don't have it in front of me. How many times did you? Because think about it. How many punts have the Falcons had to field?
That's a great question.
Probably less than one a game.
Yeah, probably. That's how it feels, at least. It hasn't been good. I mean, and this team is, you know, early in the season, that was a big storyline for this defense. It wasn't just the lack of pass rush. It was this team can't get off the field
right
on third downs, and they can't convert them on their on the offensive side of the ball. So, they need to fix that. And then, you know, speaking of maybe potentially taking the ball first is, you know, we talked about just it's a 1 o'clock game. Fans are probably going to be late coming into the stadium, so you're really not getting also that extra juice and the crowd helping the defense in that opening drive,
right?
Because they're not going to be there to really make the noise that they will be probably in the later half of the game. So I would like, now that you said it, now I want them to take the ball. I want them to take the ball and kind of put a stamp on the game.
Yeah, I don't this aversion to, well, if we win the toss, we defer, you know, this automatic assumption that, you know, it's better to have the ball at the start of the second half. And I'm like, really? Is it really better to have the ball at the start of the second half, or would you rather have the ball to start the game and really try and put them in an early hole and force them out of their what they want to do early in the game and really make them play from behind from the jump? You know, so, you know, there's nothing wrong with taking the ball to begin the game. So either, you know, let's hope Dallas, the only thing Dallas wins today is the coin toss.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry, I'm trying to look up this punt stat, and I think so. I'm on a website that has it, and it cuts off. And you have to be behind the paywall to see like the last six teams, and that's where the Falcons are. So they're somewhere in the bottom six. I'll give you that.
Oh yeah, I'm going to go through a paywall to find the bottom six.
That'd be a Craven Falcons fan. It's like, I got to know just how bad we are.
That's a brilliant job of coding. Yeah. Learn to code.
Oh, yeah,
hey, we're going to get a lot of activity out of those bottom six, you know, if we just cut it off right there. Anyway,
yeah.
Not getting off the field and not flipping the field. And plus, at some point, it's pretty obvious and evident that despite all their flaws, that with Kirk Cousins, with the division that the Falcons are in, that they are a playoff-caliber team. Now, that's step one here. What beyond that, you've got to show me a lot more. And by the way, again, halfway through the season, halftime today. So you got to show me you can defend your own house. You got to show me that you can have some kind of life on defense. I still don't understand why they're so soft on defense.
Yeah,
I don't like their softness.
I'd
rather they get beat over the top. I'd rather give up 2 50-yard touchdown passes
right
during a game than to take. I just
well. That's
to be more aggressive on defense.
It's a great point. And you know, like, listen, I'm not saying you want to give up explosives, but at some point it feels like these drives that the Falcons have been allowing, it hurts because you're allowing the yards and ultimately the points at the end of those drives, but then it also hurts your offense because they're not on the field for such a long period of time. They kind of get out of rhythm having been on the sideline, and they're more likely to have a short drive that goes three and out. Then that puts your defense back on the field who just gone through this long
right,
drive,
I mean,
and they get tired. So you
vicious
get,
cycle.
Yeah,
I know,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. So, yeah, I'm with you. Sometimes you would have, like, let's just get it over with and give up a big play or something, get our offense back out there. That's how it feels sometimes.
Well, and they certainly, again, this is a team that's turning on the road, and they seem to have relaxed when they get away from home, but they seem to press when they're here. And they've got to get away from that.
Sometimes the home crowd can be, you know, a burden more than it helps you. If you feel like, if you don't feel
it's
like.
It's never worked
you're
at Mercedes-Benz. You know, I mean.
Yeah.
This has never been a home field. They haven't had a home field since the Dome was taken down.
Yep.
You know, I blame the MARTA bus for blocking the blocking the television picture.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was like that.
That's right. I mean, Rich McKay talked about this in the press conference that the team had after Arthur Smith's firing at the very beginning of this year, saying that, you know, it was like, you know, something that we kind of overestimated when we were designing Mercedes-Benz Stadium with all the fancy amenities and places to eat and stuff that it has is that, you know, we didn't realize that fans would rather be at some of these places that we built for them to be than actually being in their seat where we kind of need them sometimes.
Oh, so we need to go back to men's restrooms with troughs.
That's right. Yes, exactly. Yeah, that needs to be the – yes, we need trough bathrooms for sure.
Bring the troughs. You'll get that if you ever went to Fulton County Stadium, you know what I mean. It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Falcons and the Dallas Cowboys today at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Kickoff 1 o'clock on your home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 99 The Game.
Go! More Falcons coverage now. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Wade Ford Tailgate Show, live from Lot 432, Shake Shack, right down W Sauce, right next to us, giving away free stuff. 1-800-TRUCK-WRECK is drawing for $100 out here. It is a party. It's festive for the Falcons and the Cowboys today. This portion of the Wade Ford Tailgate Show brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this football season, mancavestore.com. John Fricke, Joe Patrick taking you for just another couple of minutes. We'll join the network in about 5 minutes with Mike Johnson and Chris Goforth, taking you to the 1 o'clock kick with Wes and Dave. And again, the Falcons flyover with Rod Tribble after the game. Joe, I want to believe in the team. They're 5-3. Halfway through the season happens today. I know we have all the questions. I'm skeptical about the defense. Certainly, I'm skeptical about, you know, their ability to win games at home.
Yeah.
And I'm still skeptical about their ability to win games where they can actually pull away and win and not have to win at the buzzer, which is what pretty much all five wins have been, which is good. I mean, it's kind of a good and bad thing. They obviously play well down the stretch, and Cousins, being a veteran, is capable of winning you a game at the end of the game, which I love that because that's the NFL.
Yep.
But, boy, I would really like to see them take on the next step.
Yep.
So give me something here that you think says to you that the second half of the season, as we move forward here, that we will begin to see, you know, improvement. Like, for example, you talked about the rumors of somebody being of the Falcons. How much do you put in rumors before the trade deadline Tuesday? Something's going to happen.
Yeah, I put a lot of stock into it. Not just the rumors that are coming from multiple credible reporters that are saying that the Falcons are not just sniffing around but expecting them to make a move. That should tell you a lot. But also, when you hear from the coaches themselves, like Raheem Morris talking about, you know, we're not winning individual rushes and we need to find guys who will win individual pass rushes. That to me is screaming that we need to get a player in who is not currently on the roster who's going to do this. Part of that's also motivating the guys on the roster as well, saying, you know, we need to, you know, someone needs to step up and start winning them. But you can't always expect players to just elevate themselves from, you know, week 8 to week 9 and then all of a sudden be a different kind of player. So I think that there's definitely interest and something will happen. I don't think it will probably be as big of a move as a lot of people expect, but I do think that they get somebody in to help rush the passer. And then offensively, John, you know, I'm looking forward to this team just continuing to evolve. It's been so fun to watch. I got to say, if this team is going to be heavily offensive or defense, I'd prefer to watch an offensive team. I'd rather prefer to watch a team that moves the ball up and down the field and is able to score points like this Falcons team has. And we were talking in the last segment earlier in the show about Zach Robinson, the way that he's kind of evolved, what this Falcons offense is doing to this point. And we're only halfway through the season. Usually for teams that win Super Bowls and contend, you really in that second half of the season start to see them really form their identity and really figure out, you know, what they're best at and how to bamboozle other teams. And I'm excited to see what that is for this Falcons team. I think there's still a next iteration that they can hit that really encompasses everything that they, all the talent they have in the ground game with Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier, and then, of course, all these weapons in the air attack.
When you anticipate today being one of those games where, like 35-32 could happen.
That's kind of, yeah, that's the way I'm picturing this game. It's got one of the highest over-unders in the NFL so far this week amongst Vegas. They expect it to be that one of the highest scoring games, if not the highest scoring game in the NFL. So that's what I expect. And part of the reason I expect it to be that way is because of this Falcons defense, the struggles they've had that we've been going over on this show. I don't expect them to all of a sudden come out and be, you know, world beaters against this Cowboys offense. So I think it's going to be another one of those games where you got to rely on your offense to score the points you need to win.
Well, let's hope that the Falcons do do that, and let's hope that they get rolling early. It'll be interesting. I think this is one of those games where I think the Falcons could really use a quick start. They have not been a quick starting team. They could use a quick start here, and let's see if they can't get Dallas in a hole and kind of hold them back, because I think this Dallas team is on the verge of cracking. And if you can make them crack, you know, like I think the Swampers have cracked.
Yep.
And I think Dallas is on the verge of cracking. So if you can.
They're a caged animal, though. You got to be wary about a team like Cowboys in this situation.
Right, because they're a wounded animal.
Yep.
Yeah, right. And their backs to the wall, all that kind of stuff. All right, stand by for the network. We're going to join the network coverage. Chris Goforth, Mike Johnson on the pregame show. Hopefully a winning Falcons Sunday as the Falcons take on the Cowboys. Our thanks to Noel White back at the studio. This has been the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.